Welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. Whether you are an entrepreneur climbing the corporate ladder or a work-from-home parent, you are a boss. I am Teresa Rand, an entrepreneur, mother, grandmother, wife, and former CEO.
And I'm Jennifer Roberts, a wife, mom, and a woman who walked away from a corporate PR career to embrace entrepreneurship. Join us as we break down strategies, tools, and techniques that will enhance your career and life.
If you desire to make your life extraordinary, to reach and exceed your personal and professional goals, and to learn from other strong leaders, then the Boss Lady Podcast is for you.
Together, we will embrace, empower, and educate each other.
This is the Boss Lady Podcast.
And welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. I'm Jennifer Roberts. I'm excited to have you here today. I am minus my sidekick, Teresa Rand, today. She is out living her best life in Sedona, Arizona, a place that she has always wanted to go to. So when she gets back, we will ask her questions about her magnificent trip to Sedona. Kind of jealous, but it sounds like she's having a great time out there. So we'll miss Teresa, but we will be excited to see her again on the next podcast. Today, I am taking some time to talk about something I am super passionate about in my business and when I help clients is defining your ideal client. I feel like I talk about this ad nauseum and that people must be getting sick of me talking about this, but I still see people doing it wrong. So I'm motivated again and again to have this conversation about how to market, how to communicate, how to relate to your ideal client. There is so much power for entrepreneurs, business owners, large, small, every size to communicate with their ideal clients. And I'm going to talk about that today. It is one of the biggest mistakes that I see companies do. They don't make time to really understand and listen to their customer. And the bigger you get, the harder this becomes. But even for small business owners, this is not hard work. So making the time to get to know your ideal client, the great news about this is it's not hard. It is simple. It is easy. It's inexpensive. In fact, the smaller the business you got, the easier it's going to be to do this work. And sometimes, here's where I think trips people up about doing this work. It seems too easy to be worthwhile. And maybe that's why people don't do it. But here's the thing. It is so important. And it's going to drive, understanding your ideal client is going to drive so many business decisions. So I want to take a quick second and talk about what an ideal client is and what an ideal client is not. Here's what an ideal client is not. When you wake up in the morning and you look at your calendar and you go, ugh, I have to work with XYZ customer today. They always find a way to give me grief. They always find a way to not be satisfied with what we're working on or what we're doing. They're always a challenge. That's probably not your ideal client. If you wake up in the morning and you look on your calendar and you see your ideal client's name, it's going to be a great day. We're excited to work with our ideal client and vice versa. They're excited to work with us. They value what we have to offer. They are excited about the work we're going to do together. They don't have a problem with the price that they pay for the service that you offer or the product that you offer because it is so valuable to them. And so, that's who we want to try and replicate. That's who we're searching for. Those are the people that we want to try and get to know. Ideal clients. So I'm reading a book right now that is kind of fun. A marketing coach that I had just recently listened to online was talking about this book, and it really spoke to me, because sometimes people get caught up in the ideal client concept, because you can have more than one ideal client. You really can. Now, you can't have 20. And I wouldn't really say five is probably too many. But you can have a few, right? You can service different people and have different needs. So, and a little bit of a different niche, if you will. So that's all common. So it's been something that's been on my mind in my business for a minute. And this individual was talking about this book, and I was like, I need to read this. So of course I went to Kindle and found it. So the book is, and I'm going to talk to you about it, and it's kind of fun too. Positioning the Battle for Your Mind is what the book is called. It is a marketing, advertising type of book. When I see the word advertising, I just substitute it in my brain for marketing. I'm not super high or experienced, that for that matter, in advertising. I focus on more affordable or other kind of options that are communications, PR, connection, marketing type of things, content marketing versus advertising. That's just my personal preference and where my expertise is. So whenever I see in this book the word advertising, I just substitute it in my brain for marketing. So the book is by Al Ries and Jack Trout. And interestingly, it was written in about 1985. The late, let's just say, I'm not exactly sure of the publication date, mid to late 80s. So what's funny about this book is it's talking about the world of advertising marketing from the perspective in the 1980s, but so much of it is still true today. So I'm not all the way through this book, in full disclosure, but it's cool enough on chat. I've gotten to chapter 3 and it's cool enough for me to want to talk about it. So that means like I'm already enjoying it. So it's why I'm sharing it with you already. So it's written in the mid 80s and it talks about the concept that we must segment our customers. We must put them in classifications, right? And that's what I'm talking about. You can have multiple ideal clients. They have different backgrounds, maybe they come from a different perspective, or maybe you just have a different product or service that fits this audience needs more than another audience needs, right? So maybe your business is segmented in that way. I talked, one easy way to understand how you would classify different segments of an audience, very simply, is when you think about nonprofits. So nonprofits usually serve a client of some kind, right? No matter what it is they're doing, they're serving a human being, providing, you know, in your traditional way, right? And Teresa led the YMCA, so I'll use that example. They have people that are their customers that come to the gym and they use the facility and they are their customers, right? They pay for the service that they get. And in other nonprofits, maybe the individual that is the client, if you will, I worked with a nonprofit who provides mental health services. And often the client is not paying for the mental health service. They are a free service for them should they qualify for it, right? So that might be a stipulation in some nonprofits. So those clients are one segment, if you will, one kind of column of ideal clients. Now, nonprofits usually have a fundraising component. So they have a whole nother segmentation of people who they're going to work with to give them money, right? So they're not going to their clients, probably. Maybe some. Like I think of the Y, maybe there are people that join the YMCA that are members, that are donors. But the mental health service example, there are clients there that they can't afford the mental health services. So they definitely can't afford to be giving away funds for other people to have mental health services, right? So we need donors. Those donors, they're a completely different segment for that nonprofit. They don't talk to their clients the same way they talk to the donors. Very, very different, right? So you need to have some segmentation. And this book, Positioning, is kind of how you position yourself in your industry, your business, to differentiate yourself amongst your customers. So some of the products that this book talks about are fun because they're from the 80s. And it's kind of a little blast from the past, but it is kind of fun to see how things have changed and how things maybe have not changed. So one of the examples of positioning that they're using, and this is literally just in the introduction, is Volvo. Volvo made a decision to focus on safety and safety features and what safety features they're going to put in their car. And today we know as Volvo has very successfully branded itself as a safe vehicle, right? If that's what your priority is in buying a car, is safety. So some of the companies that they talk about in this book are really fun because they're 80s references, right? So when as I'm reading this, I get a little chuckle in this book, Positioning, as they talk about some of these things, because it's a little history lesson, right? We're not reading it in real time. We're reading it, 30 years, 35 years into the future. But one of the companies they talk about, and this is literally just in the introduction, is Volvo's. Volvo's focus on safety features. Now, we today think about Volvo as like, if you are very, very passionate about safety in vehicles, a Volvo may be the thing, the car for you, right? They are very well known. But in the 80s, that was just a new position that they were trying, adding safety features into the car. Haagen-Dazs, thinking back to Haagen-Dazs, how fun is this? Really, the concept of premium ice cream flavors before the Ben and Jerry's, at least I think it is before the Ben and Jerry's, but this unique brand of premium ice cream, Haagen-Dazs, they kind of decided we're going to go for this premium. It's no more chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. No, no, we're deep diving in. And the whole ice cream industry, right, as we know it now, it's all about what is the specially featured flavor concoction that you come up with. All right. And this one was actually my favorite because it kind of doesn't exist so much today. Ladies, remember the Hanes Legs pantyhose, the ones that came in those little egg containers? They became the supermarket brand of pantyhose. I remember this, like running into a Walgreens or a grocery store or some supermarket to quick pick up a pair of pantyhose when you were going to an important event and you just totally snagged the ones that you had on. I know you can relate to me, right? Like we've all been there. I cannot honestly tell you the last time I put on a pair of pantyhose. Tights, yes, in the wintertime, even the Florida girl does put on tights occasionally, but pantyhose, I thought that was hilarious and wanted to share with you today. Some of the feature in this book, even now, talks about over-communication in the 80s. Oh my gosh, would the authors be shocked now? The amount of advertising, messaging, marketing that we are hit with now compared to what we were hit with in the mid to late 80s will blow your mind. But this was a problem to solve then. And positioning is the way the authors talked about how you would solve for this over-communication, this stimulus, I guess, of consumers in the marketplace where they just completely tune out. You need to find a position for your product. And so much of what they're talking about is really understanding who you're serving and niching down into the right customer for the thing that you are offering. So when we're positioning what we offer, we have to do research beforehand. That is the huge component. It's not enough to say we are the best. This product is fabulous. We need to really understand not only our competition, but our customer. And that's what I want to talk a little bit more about today. Demographics are great. So when I say demographics, I mean we target women or men. We target a certain age group. We target a certain household income. We target a certain geographic area. That's all lovely. And yes, that information is important, but it is not enough for us to be truly clear on our ideal client's wants, needs, and desires. So I have a worksheet that when I work with clients trying to get this across to them, but also allowing them to dig in and truly kind of, I guess, quiz themselves on how well do they know their ideal client? And if they don't, if they can't answer some of the questions, well, then it's time to go do the research. We're going to talk about what the research is in just a moment. But on this worksheet, I've got about 15 questions to kind of dig into who your ideal client is. Some of the main ones that I think are the most important, I will share with you right now. What is your ideal client's pain point? What are they trying to solve for? And P.S., it is possible that they don't even know what they're trying to solve for. And they also might know that a solution exists for them. That could be part of your ideal client persona. That they don't know that there's a you out there that has a solution to their problem. Okay, more questions. What are the things that keep them stuck from solving the problem? Are there things that are keeping them stuck from solving their problem? What have they tried that has failed? This is critical information for you as you talk to people about what you do. So if your product or service has in some way failed a customer, let's say they worked with your competitor and it didn't work out so good. That customer is coming in with a bias that this problem cannot be solved in this way. But maybe you have something different. Maybe you have a better mousetrap, if you will. Right? So understanding that they have that bias is hugely important. What is the transformation that your ideal client needs? What do they want? When their problem is solved, how will they feel? What will their world look like when you have given them a solution to what is paining them? And I also like these two more. What inspires them is great because that can help you get their attention. What inspires them? And also, I'll just say this. We all love to work with people who inspire us, right? Life is so much better when we work with somebody that's like, wow. That person is just amazing. I love their passion. I love what they do in the community. I love XYZ that they offer. I love their story, right? That might be enough for people to buy from us just because we doing the thing that we love in the world are somehow inspiring them. So understanding what inspires our customers, that's kind of important. And then the last thing I will say is understanding where they hang out online. That can really help you make great decisions about where you're going to spend your time on social media. And if you decide to advertise, where you might want to spend some dollars as well. So those are some of the really important questions that you want to be able to answer about your ideal client. Now, if you just listen to what I just asked and you're like, oh my gosh, Jen, I'm not really sure that I know the answers to those questions about all my customers or the ones that I really love to work with. If you don't have that kind of easy access and know exactly what your different ideal client personas are and could answer all of those questions for them about them, then keep listening because I have more. How do we get to know our ideal client? If I can't answer those questions right now, no problem. This is an easy, easy solution. Sit down, hold on, wait for it. I know it's going to shock you. Here's what you need to do. Ask them. That's it. Ask them. Pardon me. Simply ask them. It sounds so simple, but so few people really put in the work to consistently understand their customer. Asking them a few questions is really the best way to start. You could talk to customers that you've worked with in the past that you loved working with and you believe loved working with you. They are potential ideal clients. You could also talk to future customers that you think would be a good fit to work with you. They potentially could be ideal clients. The key here is to not get caught up in the process, in this feels weird, in all of the mindset barriers, like what will they think if I ask them these questions? Don't make it about you. Just get curious. Curious about what they think. What do they like? What did you do that was great? What did you do that was not so great that they would like? Is there another additional offer out there that they wish you would give them that you haven't even thought of yet? Right? That could be hugely impactful for your business. Survey them. Talk to them personally. That is some of the best. I know some people like, I feel awkward about calling them and asking them. I don't care. Call them and ask them anyway. Ask them to lunch. Talk about, I'm working on understanding, how I can serve my customers better. Make it a 10-minute phone call. You can do an electronic survey, which is great. And that could be a good first step, or it could be a good reoccurring step. Because here's the thing, this feedback, no matter how you get it, is literally priceless. You are going to use it to make all kinds of business decisions. So you want to capture it regularly. People's needs change. People's experiences change. You need to stay on top of what your customers want. Like that example, maybe there is some follow-up offer you could be giving them that you haven't thought of that they're just waiting for you to roll out to them. So here are some of the quick, these like literally off the top of my head, business decisions that you can make when you understand your ideal client. One, should I market my business in this way? Where should I market my business? Is your ideal client going to be there? The answer should be yes. What networking events should I attend? Do you think there's a potential for your ideal client there? Then yes, that's the answer. Yes, you should go. Where should I be posting online? What social media channels should I use? And the answer isn't all of them and hope for the best, right? You will burn yourself out. Should I sponsor this event? Should I pay $1,000 or $500? Do I want to get in front of this audience? Do I want my brand out there? Is my ideal client going to be there or people that influence my ideal client there? If the answer is yes, then you should. Should I spend money on this advertising? If it's going to target your ideal clients and not 500,000 other people, just your ideal clients, then the answer is yes. Would my ideal client like this promotional pen that I'm looking at? Would they like this t-shirt? Would they like whatever? It gives you a guide on what they would want. And the more you understand about them, would they like this worksheet? Would they even use this worksheet? These are great questions to be asking yourself as you try and make business decisions with your ideal client in mind. So to wrap that up, Talking to your ideal client is something that I think is critically important in business. It just is. Big, middle size, large size, small size, does not matter. Understanding your customer is critical. Understanding more than just demographics about your customer, also critically important. Ask them directly, what pain point are they trying to solve for? How would they feel when they get to a solution? This will help you drive answers to so many business questions that you have. Always go back to, is this what my ideal client would like? It's a great litmus test on where you should spend your time and your money in your business. And it doesn't have to be hard to get this information. Simply talk to them. That's it. Just talk and then listen. Listen to what they're telling you. I hope you have found this topic of identifying and really digging into your ideal client helpful. I said I haven't finished the positioning book, but at this point, I'd already recommend it because it's really just fun for me to read. If you're into marketing books, I think it's kind of fun going back to the 80s. And for our Boss Lady community, there are exciting things coming ahead. We've got a conference coming up in September. Oh my gosh, we'll have lots more to talk about that in the coming months. So we hope you will continue to come back. Listen to some of the fun wisdom that Teresa and I can round up and some guests as well about anything going on with women in business is fair game for this podcast. One thing that's really exciting about the Boss Lady community is we are expanding into the virtual world. So we have been in the Daytona Beach, Florida area for, gosh, 5 years now. Doesn't even seem possible, but that is the truth, 5 years. And so now we are going virtual. So there are opportunities. If you are listening to this podcast and you live in Alaska, we are here for you. If you live in New York City, we are here for you. If you live in the great state of Florida, we are also here for you. So please check us out online. Our website is laddernetwork.org. You can see all things Boss Lady, all the opportunities to do things with us virtually, as well as if you are in our local community, we have lots of in-person things and fun as well. So as we always leave you at the end of the podcast, we hope that you will take some time this week to embrace, empower, and educate yourself. Have a fantastic rest of your week.